Well, we're going to open up our Bibles to John's Gospel and chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Just turn over to verse 17. We have a discussion among the disciples, but eventually they set off. And in verse 17, we read, on his arrival, this is at Lazarus's house, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "but this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Let's pray for a second. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, having read about Jesus, the Word of God, we would know the living Word of God with us by His Spirit, speaking to us, granting to us the opportunity of a new beginning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning I've got 6 points. Now, whether that's because I haven't preached for a long time and I've been saving them up, I've got 6, so you can kind of count them off and By the time I get to number five, we'll almost be there. I could say number six is a really long one, but it's not. They're all really short points. Reflections, meditations on this passage, this extraordinary passage, this moving passage, this story that perhaps we know so well, but it speaks to us about a new beginning. Now, the first, I just want to put up the word problem. Now, we begin in John 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. And then in verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is, was it sick? That was simple. Lord, the one you love is sick. The problem, if we want to receive a new beginning, if we want to receive the opportunity, the possibility of a new beginning, what I recognize from my own life and my own reflection is this. I must face up to the fact I need a new beginning. And I put it just as the word problem. And you might say, well, that doesn't really fit where I'm at. I don't really see where I'm at as a problem. It might be an issue. I might understand there are certain questions I have to face right now. But it's simply this. This understanding. Mary and Martha, they couldn't hide this fact. Their brother was sick. Quite open about it. And that's what we have very simply in this passage, in these first few verses. Lord, the one you love is sick. This is it. And maybe this morning we can simply do that. Say, this is my issue. Now, on the front of the service sheet, what did I put? Sometimes life seems to come to a standstill. Problems. There you go. Questions, illness, worry, boredom, unemployment, marriage troubles. Everything else becomes formed in the shadow of these issues for us. Now, it could be all sorts of things. And I believe God would come to us this morning and he would come close to us and he would, as it were, sit right next to us and he would nudge us and say, what's the issue? What are you facing right now? What? In a sense, what is the problem? How do you need help? How do you need your new beginning? And it may be that we simply need to say, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lord, I'm facing this issue, this problem, this disaster, this question. I'm bored. My journey with you has come to a full stop. I don't know what to do. Whatever it is. Problem. That's the first thing. Second, we have prayer. Jesus eventually makes his way to Bethany. Turn over to verse 21. In verse 20 it says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And then we read these words. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, can we just have some reflection? Some feedback. Your brother has just died. Jesus could have healed your brother. You sent a message days ago to Jesus to say, he's sick, come and heal him. And Jesus stays where he is. He doesn't budge. And eventually he comes. And you run out and say, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Describe for me, what kind of emotion do you think were going on for Mary as she ran, or for Martha as she ran out? She was knocked. That's a good word, isn't it? N-A-R-K-E-D. Is that how you spell it? Or is it a silent K at the beginning? She was knocked. Yeah, how else would you describe it? Your brother's sick. Jesus could have healed him, but didn't. Angry. Disappointed. He could have done it, but didn't. Devastation. Yeah. My brother's dead. Yeah. Anything else? What emotions you think Martha would have felt? Cross. Yeah. Confusion. What is going on? My whole world has collapsed. You know, what's going on? I thought it was like this, but now it's not like this. Lord, if you'd been here, And of course, it doesn't end there, because when Mary goes out, in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And here we have prayer. The first, you see, all my six begin with P. You see, that's why it had to be problem to start with. You know, we face up. This is the issue. Lord, the one you love is sick. Lord, this is it. This is where I'm at. This is the problem. This is the issue. This is what I'm facing. You know, this is the practical problem. Bigger than that is my emotional response to this problem, and I can't cope. The next thing we can do is engage in prayer. And I want to suggest that's exactly what was going on for Martha and for Mary. Have you ever had a frank discussion with God about how you truly feel? Have you ever felt the need or the wish? Have you ever thought, I wish I could go and pray somewhere else, because really I need to shout at God? Have you ever felt that? Maybe your prayers, in a sense, have dried up because out of that sense of confusion, you've said, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. But there's that sense of, Lord, if you'd been here, if you'd been right here, you could have changed things, but you didn't. And there is here, right here, thinking about the possibilities of new beginnings. Yes, we acknowledge the issue, whatever it might be. Things don't turn out the way we wanted, and there is honesty, and we engage in prayer. There's an openness, there's vulnerability in our prayer. Oh God. Do you know that? I don't know whether that's my most prayed prayer, but that's one of my prayers. Just, oh God. You ever prayed that prayer? Do you know, wouldn't it be great if my prayers, you say, you know, dear Father, thank you. You know, I'm sure that's what you think. I'll pray. But no, most of my prayers, when I face issues that I'd rather not face, when I come up against things and I think, I hate this. I really hate this. Why has it got to be like this? And I just say, oh God. And that's my prayer. And you know, the Apostle Paul grasped hold of this sense that Martha and Mary had in Romans 8, when he described how the Spirit groans within us. And maybe you have had that groaning in your prayers, where you've just groaned within you and you've thought, there are no words I can speak. And the Apostle Paul says, well, be encouraged, the Spirit is groaning in there and he's translating your hearts into prayer. So the first thing is the problem. You know, what's the issue for us, for Martha, for Mary? Lord, the one you love is sick. And first opportunity, they grab hold of Jesus and tell him what they really think. The third is possibilities. The third is possibilities. Verse 23. You see, Martha has challenged Jesus and said, where were you? Things could have been different if you'd been here. Verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answers, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, what was going on here? Martha was saying, look, I do believe that at the end of time, or end of time as we know it, there will be resurrection. God will raise all the righteous to life again. I know that that will happen. Jesus said to her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Here we have possibilities. We face, this is my problem, this is my issue. We grapple with God, we grasp hold of him and say, with you things could be different. They're in a mess right now, they could be different. And God would respond to us and say, there are possibilities. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. And what's going on? Well, Jesus says, well, Lazarus is going to rise. Hey, Lazarus is going to rise. But hang on. The response from Martha, yeah, I know he will rise one day, but that's not now. My brother is dead now. I'm in this mess now. I'm not right now. What are you going to do about the right now? See, one day he'll rise, fine. You see, whatever issue we face, we might say, okay, one day we will go to heaven. And when we get to heaven, it'll be okay, won't it? Yeah? You can nod at that point. Just be sure. You see, that's the fact. You see, there is that sense where we say, okay, new beginnings. Okay, right, la-di-da-di-da. You know, one day, yeah, I'll rise again. You know, one day, someday, it'll be different. And that's what Martha's thinking. But Jesus' response is, hang on, no, not just one day, how about now? I'm the resurrection and the life. It's not, I will be the resurrection and the life, but right now, right here and now, I am the resurrection and the life. How about a new beginning right now? How about your issue changing right now? How about your problem being transformed right now? One day in the future. No, not the future. How about now? How about now? And this, we have this stunning statement. I think it's an extraordinary statement from Jesus at the end of verse 26. Do you believe this? Yeah, I know you believe that when you go to die and go to heaven, everything will be fine. But how about now? Do you believe now that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and in God's creativity, he can create something new now? The possibilities are all there. So we have the problem. We have the prayer. We have the possibilities. Number four is the practicalities. Jesus makes his way and of course to the home, and he's confronted by Mary. And then in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. You see, if we've got a problem, we've got an issue, we've got a question, there's something going on, we engage God honestly in a frank prayer, he opens up for us the possibilities and says, do you know I'm the resurrection and the life? Do you know I can change you right now? Do you know that's possible? And then we move on to the practicalities. What are we going to do? That's a good question, isn't it? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So Jesus says, where have you laid him? Come and see. Have you ever done that with somebody? And maybe in the past you've had an issue, you've had a problem, and somebody has said, you know, what's your problem? Oh, this is, you know, this is it. You kind of, there can be somehow an emotional separation between you and your problem, between you and your issue. There it is, you know. And you're detached somehow from it. And it feels to me that that's how it is here. Where have you laid him? Come and see. And it's almost as if they take Jesus to the tomb and they stand back and say, well, there it is. There's the problem. There's the issue right there. You can see it for yourself. But that is part of the practicalities. When we begin to deal with an issue, maybe there's a sense of skirting around the edges of whatever it is for us. Maybe we start talking about it. Maybe the beginning is about confessing and saying, this I need to confess. Maybe in some way we do seek help, because we know in order to grasp hold of the possibilities that God offers us, we need to be practical and we need to do things. And it may be that Jesus says to you, okay, where have you laid him? Where's your problem? Where's the issue? And we need to say, come and see. Even at that point, we may be distant from it, detached, but come and see. We're beginning to move forward. Practicalities. We move into the area of practicalities. Now, the fifth thing I've just called preparation, because Jesus asked them to do something extraordinary. Verse 38, Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Let's say it together. What does verse 39 say? Let's just say that together. Take away the stone. That's what it says. Where have you laid him? What's the issue? What's the problem? You know, the possibilities. Do you believe in the possibilities? Okay, let's do something. Where have you laid him? Come and see. There he is. There's the issue. There's the problem. That's my question. That's my full stop. Okay, take away the stone. Do you hear the protests that go on here? Fantastic. You see, Jesus says, take away the stone. Now, we might imagine Jesus is going to go to the tomb, grab hold of the stone and move it. Because he's the miracle worker. He's the one who's going to change everything. But he says to us, no, hang on. You take the stone away. You begin to take responsibility for where you are. You may not like to do this, but put your hand on it. Put your hand on the stone and begin to move the stone. And admit, perhaps, for you, you've hidden this problem away and this issue away under a big stone. And Jesus says, okay, you put your hand on it and move it. Now, what's the response? Verse 39, Jesus says, take away the stone. This is great. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. In other words, it stinks. Don't go there. How many times faced with just our life? And somebody said, come on, let's talk about whatever it is. And perhaps you've been aware, God just nudging you kindly and gracefully. And there's been that sense of, come on, let's deal with this. And our response is, don't go there. Don't even think of going. Why should we? It stinks. It stinks. Isn't that right? We said, don't go there. And we say, look, why do you think I've buried it? Why do you think I put a whacking great stone over it? Because it stinks. And I'm trying to forget it. Hopefully, it'll go away. I remember my little brother, when he was young, he used to, I don't know if your kids have ever, but he used to close his eyes or go like this. I can't see you, so you can't see me. Have you ever done that? You've probably done it recently, haven't you? You know? And I can't see you, so you can't see me. And we go, no, we can see you. Look, prod, prod, prod. Do you know? And sometimes with our issues, with our problems, with our life, with our spiritual journey, with our questions, they're deep. And we think that if we bury them, put a big stone over them, they'll somehow go away. And we wonder why we get stuck. But first of all, we have to name it and say, Lord, the one you love is sick. There is an issue here. And then we have to engage God in prayer and be honest and frank about it and say, oh God, why? However it is, we need to pray. And then we need to recognize that God will then open up to us possibilities. He will speak to us, not just about the future, but he'll speak to us about our lives right here and now. But then, there's always practicalities, things we have to do. Go on, let's start talking about it. Let's do something. Confess what's gone wrong. Okay, now take responsibility. Move the stone. But it stinks. I do wonder, you know, how much did it stink? You know, I'm told, you know, scholars say, well, you know, in that climate, it's why today in the Middle East, people are buried either the same day or the very next day after they've died. It happens very quick because it's hot. Bodies rot very quickly. And there has to be this preparation for a new beginning. Well, the sixth point, the final point is purpose. Verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. You see, something extraordinary had happened. Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. He was alive. The miracle was done. But that wasn't everything. There was still more to be done. And we might say, well, hang on, what more is there? Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus has just met me at my point of need, and he's answered my prayer. He's given me life. He is the resurrection and the life. Everything is different now. It was difficult getting there. I didn't like to do it, but I'm there. But Jesus says, take off the grave clothes. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Remember when we lived in London, we had a friend who, you know, it was a good friend, and this particular person was going through a good number of issues, you know, issues. And every time this person came around for a coffee, a cup of tea, or a meal, we'd hear about this person's issues. Do you know people like that? It's all you hear. And eventually I said, you don't have to walk around naked. Do you know what I meant? I know you've got issues. You don't have to wear them out here all the time. Now, there's kind of the flip side of this. It's to say, look, Lazarus was dead. Jesus raised him to life. But even after the miracle had taken place, he still looked like one dressed in death. And Jesus says, take the grave clothes off him. Take the clothes of death off him. You're no longer in the grave. You're no longer dead. You're no longer in the heart of that issue. Stop living like you're still there. We don't want to see those clothes on you anymore. You're free. Let him go. You see? Take off the grave clothes. Don't live there anymore. Now, this story will be part of Lazarus' story forever. I mean, he's referred to as the one whom Jesus raised from the dead. And the issue, whatever it is that you face or I face, is part of our story. We can't do anything about it. It's something that's happened to us, but we don't have to live in it. We can live free. We can shake off the clothes of death. We can shake off the clothes of that issue, of that problem that we've faced, and say, let him go. Let's go. Let's live. You know, and I know, that these six things, these 6 points, these 6 reflections from this passage, you don't get through them in a day in your own life, do you? It's a process. May it be that God, in his kindness to us, in his gentleness with us, today might help us even with point one. Just so that we say, Lord, the one you love is sick. This is, it might be then that we're spurred to pray and we're angry. And we are angry. Shout out to God. It may be that Jesus would then say, it's going to be different. I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? It can be different. It can be different. Let's start doing something about it. The practicalities. But then the preparation for new life. Take responsibility. Move the stone away. Let's really get rid of this thing. But then there's the sense of purpose. Take off the grave clothes and live free. Yeah. Let's pray together and let's just ask God that there might be something in all of what I've said this morning. There might be something that will just take root within us that is full of life. Let's pray together. Father, I pray again, something of the prayer we prayed at the beginning, circle us, Lord. Circle us, Lord, embrace us. Father, we thank you that you do know us exactly as we are, not as we would like to be or pretend to be, but you know us just as we are, and we thank you for that. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Father, thank you for reminding us that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Father, thank you for offering to us today the possibility, just rooting out stuff that doesn't need to be buried anymore, but it can be dealt with, and we can move forward. By your grace, direct our paths, we pray. Grant so much mercy to cover our sin, to cover our weaknesses, that we might know your blessing. We might know your blessing as individuals, and we might know your blessing together. We pray in the precious name of Jesus.